To heal. So we're going to turn to the word of the Lord now. Hang on just a minute. There we go. Okay. And this morning I want to talk about what is Jesus worth? Okay. And this is a Palm Sunday message, and you kind of think, well, I'm not sure about this, but hang with me. So youth, we're going to do a little bit of revision because you weren't with us last week, and we're going to cover some of this, but I'm glad you're with us today, and I promise there are some things in this message, especially for the youth today, okay? So we're going to, as we go through Palm Sunday in these few days, the question for us this morning is, what is Jesus worth? And I know that there are other ways you could say this, but this is the way that I felt the Lord really put on my heart for us to consider this morning in the question, what is Jesus worth? So this is our Palm Sunday message, and I want you to think with me. So youth, here's the revision. We started last week, and we talked about we're walking with Jesus in time through the scriptures and through the events leading right up to his crucifixion. And as we saw, and as we talked about last week, the events of the life of Jesus, the birth, so sorry to burst your bubble, December 25th is not when Jesus was born. He was not born on Christmas Day. That one we don't know, but what we do know almost certainly, with great certainty, is when Jesus died, generally. So there might be a difference in the years, a little bit, but what we do know is it was this month, it was this day, in these last times. So last week, we looked at Jesus on the way, coming down from Galilee. Oops, shall we look at the map again?
Yes.
Okay, here's the map we looked at last week. Jesus was up in Galilee, and then part of his journey to the cross, journey to Jerusalem and the cross, was he gathered his disciples and he said, in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and he said, we're on our way to Jerusalem where I will be betrayed and I'll be handed over to the Romans, I'll be mocked, I'll be whatever, I will be crucified, but then I will rise. So he told that to his disciples, to the 12. As they were on the road to Jerusalem. Well, I wouldn't want to go to Jerusalem if that were the case. Jesus, let's stay up here in Galilee, where you won't be mocked, where you won't be betrayed, where you won't be handed over to the Romans, where you won't be crucified. But Jesus, our wonderful high priest, and the shepherd of our salvation, and our sacrifice, never, ever, ever shied away or turned from any hard thing to fulfill his mission because of his love for you. That should encourage you this morning, knowing what he would face. And so he said, we're on the way. And he could have gone different ways, but the path is the red one. This is the one that he chose. So sorry, adults, just, you know, hang with us while we get the revision. And so youth, this is the way he came. There were three routes from there to here, one by the Mediterranean, one right through Samaritan territory, and then the other one that went down along the Jordan River and came through Jericho. So that's the way they went. They went the red route. And on that way, so within the 2 weeks of Jesus dying on the cross, as he began to make his way down here, he reached Jericho. And as we saw, there were the two stories, the two encounters that you all know very well. One was with a man who was blind. What was his name? Do you remember? Youth. Okay, Tobias, who was it? You didn't even listen to your dad. Bartimaeus, okay, who was blind by the road. And we talked about that. And then the other one was let me make it easy. A very, very short man who climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. Kingsley? Okay, adults, a little help. Who was it? Zacchaeus. And we talked about what Jesus did for both of them. That's on his way to the cross. That's part of his journey to crucifixion. So there's blind Bartimaeus, who was physically sick and then was physically healed. there was Zacchaeus, who was spiritually sick and spiritually healed, both of them. And God the Son, Jesus, used the same expression is used. He used, for one, he said healed, for one, he said saved. And in the original language, it's the same one. So that's where we were last week, okay? And that would have happened, so for all of us who are here now, for everybody, all of that would have happened maybe this past week around Wednesday, Thursday or so. Okay, now, let's move forward. And so Jesus is going along. He has left Jericho. So there's the map, right? He's left Jericho. Where is he going to go next? Okay? So that's Thursday or so. Look at John 12:1. Ready? Let's get into the kind of the timeline and then the geographical location, okay? John 12:1. We're going to look at all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John for these few days, and we're going to look at the days Friday through Wednesday. So Sunday, triumphal entry, it's where we are today. And as we're going to see, we know it was this day a certain number of years ago when Jesus came into Jerusalem. So we're going to look at that. So John tells us, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. What was Bethany? Where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now, this is going to be part of our story. There's so many things we look at. We can't look at it all, so we're just going to look at some. So he arrived at Bethany. You ready? Shall we do one more map? Let's do one more map. Okay, take a quick look. Thank you for indulging me in maps. So the Jericho Road, sorry if you're online, you can't see me as I'm pointing, but I'm going to use the map. So the Jericho Road came down this way and then began to come up. And it was an interesting journey because Jericho is the lowest city in the world, then and now. Okay, I had to look it up just to make sure. It is 258 meters or 846 feet below sea level. That's how low it is. Jerusalem is 785 meters above sea level. So it was really a climb, right? So they were down, and then they start making their way from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's not that far from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's only about 16 miles, okay? But it's a climb, right? It's rough and it's a climb. So they start going towards Jerusalem. His plan has not changed. His plan was to meet blind Bartimaeus. His plan was to meet Zacchaeus. His plan is to go through Bethany. Who's in Bethany? His dear friends. You know, young people especially, you sometimes think of Jesus as sort of floating 2 feet off the ground while he walked the earth as a man. But the Bible story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is so different from that. Jesus got tired. Jesus had to study just as you are studying. In fact, after he grew up, he was called rabbi. He was a teacher. Well, do you think that just popped into his brain? He studied. He really studied. And Jesus also had really good friends. Do you have really good friends? Really? You have really good friends? Okay, Julia and her buddy are sitting next to each other, and they're going, you know. So I know that they're extra good friends, right? So what you need to know is Jesus had really good friends, the same as you have really good friends, and he was really close with them. Let me ask you something. When you're going through something tough, when you're facing something that's difficult ahead, do you want to be all alone, or do you want to be with people who understand you and who are close to you and who are friends with you? Usually we want to be with friends, don't we? And so here's Jesus. He's going to the cross, and he knows it. Where does he stop on the way to the cross? He stops in Bethany. Why? Several reasons. Jerusalem was crowded with pilgrims, maybe 150,000 or more extra people in Jerusalem, so it would have been difficult to find a place. But beyond that, he had friends who had a home large enough for him, who loved him, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who lived in Bethany. And so what does Jesus do? He spends time with people who love him and those that he loves before he goes to the cross. And so he comes to Bethany first, and then we look at the map, and here's this other town. How to pronounce it? You choose any way you want to pronounce it. I've seen it. I've heard it pronounced about four different ways. Probably Bethphage is the best way to say it. But you say it any way you want to, and I'll go, uh-huh, okay. Just say it with confidence. This looks very... Did you know that's how you get through? Just say it confidently. So Bethany to Bethphage, it's only about half a kilometer, right? So it looks really far, but it's not. Half a kilometer at most. And so then from there to there, it's, or maybe a kilometer, it was only from here to here, it was only about 3 kilometers. Okay, so it's really close. So Bethany and Bethphage are really small towns, really small towns. Jerusalem is a large city. It was one of the great cities of that day. Regularly, maybe 80,000 people. Now, we who live in Hong Kong think 80,000 people, small, but for that day it was very large. 80,000 residents regularly, and then with the Passover, with all of the pilgrims, maybe up to 200,000 more people flooded into the city. So it's really crowded. So Jesus stops in Bethany, and then he stays there. With, as far as we know, he stays with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, what day, let me back up just a second. What day is that? 6 days before the Passover. So you know what that means? Jesus got there Friday or yesterday, depending on how you want to count it, okay? So Jesus got there Friday or yesterday. He arrived in Bethany. Now, what happens? And then there's Saturday, which is Sabbath, so he doesn't travel on the Sabbath, right? Okay, let's go on a little bit further. We've looked at the map. Ready? Here we go. John 12, 12 through 13. We come to Sunday, today, what we're celebrating right now, okay? The next day, what day? Sunday, today, okay? The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Okay, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Some of you laughed at me this morning when I said, you have 2 palm branches. But you do. You do. You have 2 palm branches. And they went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So here's the shout. So look with me. It's Sunday. Just think of it. It's today, okay? They're coming from Bethany. Jesus sent his disciples. We're not going to read all the story because we don't have time. And he has sent his disciples. They've gotten the donkey. He's sitting on the donkey. And here is what has happened. If you go back and read the story, you'll see the news had gotten ahead of him. Some people in Jerusalem had already heard Jesus is in Bethany, and they had already come out, and they'd gone to Bethany because Jesus was there. Why? It was Jesus. Why else? It was Lazarus and Mary and Martha, a prominent family. Remember, that's the guy that was dead 4 days, and Jesus said, Lazarus! Come out of that grave. And he came out. Just as God has said to you, when you were dead in your sin, and God said, come out of that grave. And the power of Jesus brought you out of your life of death and made you alive. And you came out of the grave also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking at a bunch of Lazaruses here this morning. I am. And praise the Lord for that. And so they've already come out. And then the next day, the crowd that had come for the feast heard that he was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him. Where is this crowd coming from? Where's this crowd coming from? Not a trick question. They're coming from Jerusalem, right? They're coming from Jerusalem. So it's early Sunday morning. Got it? It's early, earlier than most of you got up this morning, although I got up when it was dark. And they heard Jesus is on the way. It was extremely exciting. It was, his disciples were with him. They're excited as they go. And then other people start coming along, these pilgrims that are there. And then the word gets to Jerusalem, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And so remember I told you that story before when Dad and Mom were in Singapore many, many years ago, and they were doing outreach in about a kilometer behind the church in a slum area where the triads were in control, and and it was near the Monkey God Temple. This was in Singapore. And most of the time, because it was so dangerous in that area, see, youth, I'm including some things for you too, but this I always love this story. Most of the time, Dad would not let Mom go because it was a really dangerous area. And Dad would not let the young women of the church go for evangelism because it was really dangerous. This was in the early years, in the 50s, 1950s, in Singapore. And so, but one time, Mom was with him. So they're going, they've been evangelizing in this area. Here comes Dad. Mom is with him. And they suddenly hear somebody shout, "Yes, oh, Leila!" So those of us who speak Cantonese, "Here comes Jesus!" And then they said in Cantonese, "And Mary, his wife, is with him." So, which kind of makes sense. Actually, her name is Mary, but they were thinking like Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know. But they were thinking, well, it's Jesus and his wife on the way. But that's okay, you know. And so, no wife here. But they're shouting because Jesus is coming, right? They come out from Jerusalem, and they're shouting. You can imagine what the scene was. There was shouting. There was cheering. There were palm branches that were being cut. All sorts of things were happening. And they took palm branches, and they go out to meet him. But that's not the only group that's praising. Okay, look at the next. I told you we were going to look at all of these different verses. Then Luke tells us a little bit more. As he, Jesus, went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. We're going to talk about cloaks a little bit later this morning because our question is, what is Jesus worth? Okay? They spread their cloaks on the road, and then when he, Jesus, came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, here's our map. Okay. They were up here. This was a high point. Then it goes down in the valley and then up to Jerusalem. That's where they are. Okay? That's where Jesus is. Okay? So when it got there, look at this. Maybe you haven't really noticed this part, but Luke tells us this. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. By the way, that loud voice, that word in the Greek is mega, like mega man, mega mind, or whatever. That's what the word means, mega, just like that word we looked at last week, that Zacchaeus was micro man, micros. So here is mega. Great, great voices. Now, I want you to see something here. The crowd has come out from Jerusalem. They're waving palm branches. They're saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But they're not the only group. His own disciples are part of this, and they also are praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Now, I want to pause there just a minute. We're going to talk about this again in just a minute. When do you praise the Lord? When do you praise the Lord? I praised the Lord just a few minutes ago when I said, "Jesus healed my finger this week." He did. He healed my finger. No more stiffness. After 44 years, seriously, no more stiffness. I praise the Lord for that. But look at what it says about the disciples. Everybody's praising the Lord. Why do the disciples praise the Lord? They praise the Lord because of all the miracles they had seen. Is Jesus working a miracle right now? Has Jesus done something? Has Jesus at this moment opened blind eyes? Has Jesus at this moment cured cancer? And I can tell you, although they wouldn't have called it cancer at that time, Jesus cured cancer. He did. Jesus cured cancer when he walked to the earth. Who knows what was going on with that woman with the issue of blood? We don't know. Jesus cured that. Jesus healed that. And what I want you to see is this. There are people who are praising the Lord, but the disciples, those who knew Jesus, those who had walked with Jesus, those who had seen what Jesus had done, began to praise Jesus for all the miracles they had seen. You and I sometimes find it hard to praise the Lord. Do you sometimes not feel like praising the Lord? Yeah? Do you sometimes feel like, "Well, I've been praying, nothing's been happening"? I want you to see what a disciple does. And I want you to be a disciple of Jesus. They began praising him for all the miracles they had seen. This morning, if you are a Christian, You have personally witnessed the greatest miracle that Jesus could ever, ever, ever perform. And that is the miracle of taking someone who was spiritually dead and on their way to hell without hope. And he made you alive, and he gave you hope and a future. That's the biggest miracle in the world. That's bigger than $10 million in your bank account. Because the $10 million in your bank account, when you get near the end of the life, your life, it can't buy you health, it can't buy you happiness, it can't buy you hope, it can't buy you a future. It will die. It will be used by others. But what Jesus has done in your life, what Jesus has done for you in giving you life, is eternal. It's eternal. You and I, brothers and sisters, we always have a reason to praise the Lord. So next time you're sitting around, and I don't feel like praising the Lord. If I really feel it, oh, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. If I feel like it, then I'm going to praise the Lord. If I really feel like it, I'll praise the Lord out loud. And if I super feel like it, I might raise a hand and praise the Lord. Jesus, at this point, if he does nothing else in your life, has worked the greatest miracle ever. And the disciples, for what they had seen, began to praise the Lord. I hope your heart is stirred this morning. I don't want you to feel I'm spanking you. Maybe I'm spanking you just a little bit. I want your heart to start bubbling with gratefulness at what he has done. I look at some of you. I know some of you I call by name more than others, only because your story is more known than others. And so sometimes I call you by name because I know that, oh, God did such a wonderful thing in your life. But all of us, God has done wonderful things in our lives. As I've said before, I look at our dear, dear brother Andrew in the back and what God has done in his life. But I look over here at Brother XP too, because you know what? At one point, Brother XP's life was it a mess, Brother XP? That's right. Heroin was part of his life too. Is heroin part of your life now, Brother XP? Jesus is your... That's right. Jesus is part of his life. He's not in the grip of heroin anymore. He's not spending all of his money looking for his next fix. God has healed him. God has delivered him. God has saved him. And those are just, and you say, well, oh, I don't have that kind of story. Yes, you do. Satan had you in his grip. You were going to hell. I was going to hell. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, came to Jerusalem knowing that the cross was ahead. And he offered himself as the perfect sacrifice so that you could be free, so that I could be free. And not just free, but so that we could have life. And we have life. Amen? Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the disciples begin shouting out, and they're doing it too. Now, whenever you get excited for the Lord, there are always people around to criticize you and say, chill, and come on, let's be a little more restrained. Always. Ready? Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They didn't like what was going on. And Jesus says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Oh, beloved, why would the stones cry out? Have you ever thought about this? The stones would cry out because Jesus is the Lord of creation. The Bible tells us that through Jesus, God made all of creation. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't understand this, how stones would cry out. But Jesus said that they would have cried out. And there will be a time when I believe, and the Bible shows us this, that creation will rejoice one day. And Jesus says, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I don't want any stone taking my place. I don't want any stone singing the praises that should come from my heart and my life and my mouth. Why? Because Jesus didn't save that stone. Jesus saved me, and Jesus saved you. So there will always be those who will, we're talking about what is Jesus worth, okay? You say, now how does it fit? What is Jesus worth? He is worth their exuberant praise. He is worth their unfettered praise. He is worth their unlimited praise. But even though people are saying, oh, tell them to be quiet, then Jesus goes into the temple. This is still Sunday morning, okay? Still Sunday morning. He would have come in early on Sunday morning, coming into Jerusalem. This would be still early. He goes into the temple. He cleans it out. And then, look at this. Oh, I love this. He's in the temple. Matthew 21:14. This is part of Palm Sunday, okay? He's in the temple complex. He's cleaned it out. And now look at this. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. Those of you that are struggling, those of you that are pressing towards Jesus and you feel like it's hard to reach him, I'm waiting for an answer and the answer hasn't come. I've been asking God, but God has not said yes. Look, look, look. This is Sunday morning. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple complex. And he did what? He healed them. Listen. I'm not spanking you. You're not being spanked, right? I want you to be encouraged this morning. Look at this. Matthew could have said anybody. He could have used any other person. These are the ones who came to Jesus in the temple. Look who he said. Look who he highlighted. Now, I'm sure others came also, but who did he highlight that came to the temple? The blind came to the temple. How does a blind person get to the temple? It's not easy. It takes effort. You've got to press through a crowd. You've got to fight your way through all the other pilgrims. You've got to navigate the steps. And you've got to get there because you're blind. But the one who can heal your blind eyes and open your blind eyes, he's in the temple. So it's worth it to keep pushing. It's worth it to press in. It's worth it to keep on going. Now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to despair. The blind came to him in the temple complex. Who else came to him in the temple complex? Don't miss it. Who? The lame. How are the lame going to get to the temple complex? No wheelchairs, no special access like we have in Hong Kong, no elevator, no ramp to get up here and there and all of those things. How are the lame going to get to the temple? It's going to be hard. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to somehow drag your way through or get enough people to help you get through that crowd. But it's worth it because Jesus, the one who has come in the name of the Lord, the one who has come to do the works of God who has sent him to this earth, is in the temple. And they pressed in and they pressed on and they pressed through and he healed them. He healed them. Brothers and sisters, have you been praying for some things for a long time? Don't stop now. Don't give up now. Press in. Press on. Press through. Press through. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. I love this. I've read the Bible so many times. I've read the gospel so many times. I have. I am not that smart. Holy Spirit had to show this to me. I'm not that smart. And suddenly I saw, oh, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And it was like, boom, got it. Got it, Jesus. Got it. If you are blind and if you are lame, press in. Press on. Because Jesus will heal you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in the midst of all these wonderful things, our question is still, what is Jesus worth? Jesus is worth the praise of all the crowds, right, that were, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the disciples are praising the Lord for all the miracles they had seen. There were, at that point, no particular miracles on that day, as far as I know. He was riding a donkey coming into the city. But in the disciples' minds and in their eyes, oh, Jesus, you've done this, 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 and this. We always have enough for which to praise the Lord. Now look at this, the old fuddy-duddies, the hypocrites. Matthew 21, 15 and 16. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders that he did. Can you imagine people like this? And the children in the temple complex cheering, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant, and they said to him, do you hear what these children are saying? Do you hear what these children are saying? Listen, there will always be people who will rain on your Jesus parade. I'm serious. Oh, you're... Are you sure he healed you? But that just may be mass hysteria. Do you really need to dance around so much? Now, brothers and sisters, if we get wild and crazy at Lighthouse, we'll take care of it. But may I say to you, I doubt we are in much danger of getting wild and crazy when we worship the Lord at Lighthouse. I honestly, personally believe Jesus would be honored and pleased to see and hear more expressions of exuberant worship and praise, because he is worth it. He is worth it. Amen? Amen. I hope you're hearing it. We'll just take that as praise. That's okay. Thank you, Lord. That was a stone that cried out because somebody didn't this morning. So a phone had to cry out for you. For you, Tobias. I'm so glad the youth are here this morning. It gives me people to pick on. I have to take Tobias out to eat afterwards. Now, look at what Jesus said. Jesus told them, have you never read, you have prepared praise from the mouths of children and nursing infants? Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worth our praise. Jesus is worth our extravagant worship. Jesus is worth your. Jesus is worth your exuberant worship, your heartfelt worship. Jesus is worth your praise even when you don't feel it or feel like it. Look at this. May I say it one more time? Jesus is worth your praise even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't feel like it. Do you know? Do you think you all see me up here and you see and you know that generally I am quite expressive in praise and in worship? And you say, well, I'm just not that way, Pastor Jan. You're a pastor, and so, you know, you feel. May I say something to you and be really honest? Youth, I want to talk especially to you. I do not always feel like praising the Lord. I don't always feel it. But you know what I have found? I have found when I choose to praise the Lord anyhow as a sacrifice of praise, if I will praise him, pretty soon I start feeling like praising him. I do. Because yes. You know what? It's not really about me. It's about Jesus. It's not even really about the worship leader. You know, sometimes the worship leader will say, come on, let's praise the Lord. And some of y'all, let's raise our hands. Okay, I'm not going to call. And some people, you think I'm kidding. Pastors see almost everything. I'm not trying to spank you, but I am trying to encourage you as we look at Jesus as he comes into the city. Here's the thing. So you don't want to be a Pharisee, right? You don't want to be a Pharisee like these Pharisees that have, oh, that's not proper. That's not appropriate. Let me say something else. The crowd that was worshiping the Lord, Jesus, as he came into the city. Have you ever heard this before? That's the same crowd that 5 days later is standing in front of Pilate. And what are they saying? Instead of saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What are they saying instead? They're saying, crucify him. All of this crowd? No, not all of this crowd. Some of this crowd? Surely some of this crowd. So you know what? Here we are And we, you know what some of us would say? Well, what kind of praise is that? So fickle, so shallow. Look at that. They're this way and they're this way. Hey, look at what Jesus does. Does Jesus stop in the middle and say, hey, your praise is not deep enough. A few days later, you're going to turn against me. Does Jesus do that? He knows what's in their hearts. He knows what's going to happen. What does Jesus do as he goes through this crowd of praise? What does he do? He receives the praises of the people. He heals them. He's doing all of this. He is accepting imperfect, shallow praise because he is worth that. He is worth praise. He is worth praise. Some of you, I hope I can get it all together in the right way. Some of you are waiting for the perfect storm of praise. You're waiting till I just really feel it and I just can't help myself and I'm going to have to say, praise the Lord, and say something out loud. And if I, and you know what I mean. I'm serious. Y'all are waiting just to be overwhelmed by praise before you say, oh, praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Oh, if I feel it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite either. But sometimes we tell our feelings. You can let your feelings be your boss. If you let your feelings be your, I don't feel it. How many of you didn't feel like combing your hair this morning or brushing your teeth this morning? I'm so glad you did. How many of you don't feel like going to work tomorrow morning, but you go? You don't feel like going to classes, but you do. You don't feel like sweeping the floor, but you sweep it. You don't feel like being nice to someone, but you're nice anyhow, because you're supposed to. If you let your feelings be your boss, you're going to live a life that is just like that. Because feelings are strong, and we got them all over the place. And sometimes they're here, and sometimes they're here. Don't wait for perfect feelings. You tell your feelings, you're not the boss of me. I'm going to praise the Lord. Is my praise imperfect? Oh, God, I just got angry at that person. I can't praise the Lord. Yes, you can. Jesus, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're waiting for perfect praise, if you're waiting for perfect circumstances, if you're waiting till it's all just right, you will not encounter that until you get to heaven. Until you get to heaven. You can wait till heaven to praise Jesus? Praise means something here. Praise means something now. Jesus is worth your praise. Because look at these old scoundrels. Seriously. They said, do you hear these children? Hey, what do children know about praise? Children were praising the Lord. And Jesus says, yep, haven't you read it in Scripture? Don't wait for perfect praise. Don't wait for everything to be right. Young people, I can't encourage you enough. Sometimes you're there and you don't feel like it. Sometimes, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite except hypocrites like the Pharisees or whatever. He knows that. And just say, God, as imperfect as I am, Jesus, I'm going to praise you. As messed up as I am, I'm going to praise you. I don't have the answers yet. I'm going to praise you. I don't feel like it. I'm going to praise you anyhow. Well, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. Jesus is worth your praise. Jesus is worth your worship. What is Jesus worth? At the very least, he is worth our worship and he's worth our praise. Oh, now I can tell I'm not going to get all the way to the end, but that's okay. We're going to get almost to the end. What is the other thing that they do besides praising and shouting? What else do they do? Let me find it. Here we go. They spread their cloaks on the road. We're not gonna get to, so you can get to it on your own. What is Jesus worth? What happens on the Saturday evening before he goes into Jerusalem at a dinner at Simon the leper's house? A woman, Mary Magdalene, right, comes to him and she shows what Jesus is worth by extravagantly pouring out something that might have cost a year's wage. She showed what Jesus was worth. And then another person showed what he thought Jesus was worth. And his name was Judas. Because it was at that meal that Judas complains bitterly and says, What a waste. What a waste. Could have been used for this. May I say something to you this morning before we end with this about the cloaks? I feel like I have to say this. What you do for Jesus, he said, it's a beautiful thing. What you give to Jesus, what you give Jesus of your life, what you honor him with, even when it is costly, and especially when it's costly, is worth it. It's worth it. I've told you before, I was at university and I survived. So Tobias, you said, I want to survive, right? Were you the one that said that? Yeah, I wanted to survive too. So I survived, okay? And I did very well, thank you, Lord, in my studies. And I had already come here and I was already working. It was just my first year and I'd already decided to stay a second year. This was across the border up north, doing what I was doing at the time, because that's what God had put in my heart. And the academic dean of the university ran into my mom, and he had always been very kind and nice to me. And he said, "Oh, what's Jennifer? Is she still over there in China and whatever?" And mom said, "Oh, yes." And the academic dean of the university looked at mom, and you know what he said? "What a waste! What a waste! I could have done so much more with my life, right? I could have been this. I could have made a whole bunch of money." And mom, you know, mom being mom, was kind and gracious, but she let him know it's not a waste. That's the attitude of Judas. And sometimes it's our attitude as well, right? We feel, but I could do this. It's a waste. The things that you do for Jesus, the sacrifices, the choices you make that honor him, it's never a waste. It's never a waste. You are showing what Jesus is worth. You're showing what Jesus is worth. I do not regret the choice that I have made. If you make choices towards God, I'm not saying you have to go into young people. I'm not saying you have to go and be a pastor or a preacher. I'm not saying that at all, because God has different plans for your lives. But if you will choose God's path and God's way, whatever the cost, it is worth it. It's worth it. It is a beautiful thing that you will do for Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's close with cloaks, okay? Close with cloaks. How many of you this morning, young people, your parents picked out what you were going to wear this morning? Mom always tried to pick out for Dad because my dad loved brown, and it was not his best color. Dad looked really good in blue, especially as his hair got white. And Dad, oh, he loved brown so much, and he loved yellow shirts. I mean, it was really not good. So Dad would pick out brown and yellow, and Mom would go into the closet, and she'd take out a blue shirt, and she'd say, "Honey," you know. Wives, that's what you have to say when you're trying to steer your husband in another direction. You have to say, "Honey," and then they listen. She say, "Esperanza, you got to try it. You got to try it." but Ida, I don't know if it'll work on Andreas or not. I don't know if he listens to "Honey." And she'd pull out a blue shirt. He looked so great in blue. And she'd hold it up. She says, "Honey, this looks so good on you." And every once in a while, Dad would listen. He really loved his brown shirts. So anyhow, how many of you, when you were picking out what you were going to wear this morning, you had some choices? Did you have some choices? Did you have a choice between three outfits? You had a choice between 20 outfits, most of us. Some of you had a choice between 30, 40, maybe more outfits, okay? You had a whole bunch of choices. Guess what? People in Jesus' day didn't have all those choices. And so most people had one cloak, one. They had an inner garment, and then they had a cloak. This is what we end with. What is Jesus worth? So here are these people. Do you think they have received a memo? Here's the memo. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, so make sure you get a cloak to put on the road as he comes walking on the donkey. But since you're going to put it on the ground in the dust, And you know what donkeys do when they're walking along the road, as we have all seen at the changing of the guards in London at Buckingham Palace and so forth and so on. And everybody else is going to put their cloaks down too. So make sure you if you have an old cloak, put down your bad cloak. Put down the one that's all torn on the, and you may lose it too, because everybody's cloak looked almost the same. Is that what it said? No. This was a spontaneous response to God, to God the Son. And they spread their cloaks on the road. And this, we end with this. What is Jesus worth? Jesus is worth your cloak. He's worth your cloak. That one thing that you have, the best thing that you have. Most people, if you were wealthy, you might have two. So y'all, by standards in Jesus' day, we rich. You know, we thick. We got it. We got it. When you think about all that we have. In that day, they would have one cloak. And not only men. By the way, women would have a cloak also. It was just a little bit different. The women's cloaks might have a little bit of color. But what I want us to see is this. What is Jesus worth? They spread their cloaks on the road. They spread it down. Let me ask you something. Did they have to spread their cloaks on the ground? Had the donkey ever walked on a cloak before? Never. It was the road. Was a cloak needed or necessary? Was it vital? Would it make a difference in this or that? Here's this extravagant, unusual expression of hearts responding to Jesus. These were the only cloaks they had. They were going to put them on a dusty, dirty road. A donkey was going to walk on it and maybe do more on it. Other people were going to stomp on it. It would definitely get dirty. It might get torn. It might get lost. It was a huge crowd. And yet, what did people do? They spread their cloaks. Why? It was an expression of the heart. An expression of the heart. So I want to challenge you. Have you spread your cloak on the dry, dusty, dirty road for Jesus? Have you? Would you be willing to? You say, well, my cloak, well, let me go back and get that t-shirt that's stained, and that's not what I'm talking about. And Jesus wouldn't want that anyhow. Jesus didn't ask for it. But Jesus is worth our best. That's what this means. Jesus is worth our finest. Jesus is worth our most precious. Jesus is worth our most valuable. Why? Because God in heaven gave his only son this week. And on Friday, he would go to the cross. The only son, the perfect son. Just like these cloaks, they're only cloaks that they depended on. But Jesus was worth it. On Friday, the Friday when Jesus is crucified, the soldiers pull off his clothes. They pull off his cloaks. This is the bookend to what we see here as he comes in to great praise and great worship. And 5 days later, the Roman soldiers callously, unfeelingly, are just seated in the shadow of the cross as Jesus is hanging there naked. Some pictures show a loincloth, but by all accounts of what would have happened, Jesus had no loincloth. Jesus had nothing. He was completely naked. And you think about 5 days earlier, all the cloaks thrown on the road, extravagant. And then, as Jesus hangs on the cross, they take the cloak of Jesus, the Bible says that, along with everything, and they gamble for his clothes. That's the other part of it. He's not going to need it anymore. He's dying. And the callousness of what the soldiers do in the shadow of the cross as Jesus is there. I don't want to be like the soldiers. You don't want to be like the soldiers. We want to be like the crowd. Fickle as they were, maybe even shallow as their praise was, that takes the best I have, the only thing I have, the cloak that I have. And because Jesus is worth it, I throw it in the dust for Jesus. He's worth it. This Palm Sunday. I want us to close. Worship team, if you'll just come forward. Either Chris or I'll lead, but either Chris or Steve. I will give you all my worship. Shall we do that? It doesn't have to be, hey, worship team. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, but it's going to be real, right? We're going to praise the Lord. And I want us just to praise the Lord this morning. Shall we do that? Just praise the Lord. And I want to, you can sit if you want to, but I invite you to stand. I invite you to kneel. I invite you to raise your hands. I know we've gone a little bit longer this morning, but it's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. And let's start with the chorus, Amy. I will give. Sorry, don't use my key. I started low. Chris, give us a key. And we're just going to worship the Lord, okay? And let's start with the, yeah. I will give. We can do that, right? You got mics ready? So we just got that. If you need to leave, I know we've gone a little bit longer. That's okay. But I want us, let's respond. What is Jesus worth? What is Jesus worth? I mean that. What? And if the youth are in the hall, they're welcome. If the kids are in the hall, they're welcome to come in as well. Who cares what anybody else is doing or saying around you? Let's worship the Lord. Amen. You already know this song, so if you don't need the words, close your eyes. I will give you all my worship. I will give.
I will trust.
worship you. Would you use your own words now in any language? Let's just take a little bit of time just to worship the Lord out loud. Don't let a stone take your place, Lord. I worship you this morning. Lord, I praise you this morning. I'm your disciple. And Lord, I think of all the miracles you've done. I praise your name. I praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for a church full of Lazaruses that you made alive. Thank you for the miracles of life you've done. Thank you for the healing. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for delivering people from bondage. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for what you have done. Oh Jesus, I know you're going to do more. Lord, I know we're going to hear more things that you've done. But Lord, we don't wait for those things. You are worth our worship. You are worth our praise. You are worth our extravagant, exuberant response this day. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to look just a minute, but do it quietly. You look. There's a little, I think the Lord just did that. Look at Gake and Catherine and Eleanor, and there's a little child, and she's waving a palm branch. I'm serious. I think that's the Lord, because we just read it, right? You see, now don't make her shy. She might start crying. Don't make her shy. But she's got a little palm branch. She's worshiping the Lord. She's worshiping the, and Jesus accepts it, and Jesus loves it. Amen? Amen. I encourage you this week, as we go through this week, let the praise of God fill your heart and just give expression. And if you're kind of shy and quiet, go into a bathroom and talk to God in the bathroom or whatever. Just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. John, you're going to close us. Come forward and close us. Amen. You heard Kim read some opening scriptures. And John's going to read some closing scriptures. Do we have the microphone? Sorry, grab the microphone so that we can hear online. I know it went long, but it's good to be together in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen.
Amen.
Amen, John. Okay.
Okay, praise the Lord. This is looking forward to our Lord Jesus' second coming, which is very different from his first. And I saw heaven open. Sorry, this is from Revelation chapter 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Not a donkey.
Not a donkey, no. A white horse, yeah. A white horse. And he was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus, we just give you all the glory and honor and praise due your name. May you be with us this week. May we give thanks, Lord, this week for the rest of our lives, Lord, for what you've done. And we look forward to your return, Lord. We look forward to your kingdom being established, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.